Hello and welcome back to Fly Live's F1 podcast. I am back as your host today, joined by Ethan Evans, Kit O'Callaghan, Adrian Keita and Dan Jones. Now, we've just had the first round of the season in Bahrain, kicking us off nicely. So I thought I'd get your lot's general thoughts on the race, Adrian.
Well, put me on the spot straight away. Very interesting race. I must say the battle between Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen, everybody was waiting for that. And it happened. It went right down to the wire, but Hamilton prevailed once again. I mean, the consistency of the race stewards regarding the track limits, bit of a question mark there. But I mean, he took the race win. He's got the 25 points and yeah, he smashed it. But I mean, I'm hoping, well, everybody's hoping for a closer title race, and I think Max is going to bring it to Hamilton this season.
Ethan, what are your first reactions after yesterday's race?
Well, I think it was a hotly anticipated race, and then we kind of got off to a bit of a false start. We had that extra formation lap, we had the safety car, we had the virtual safety car. Eventually, we got going, and then it was all about Verstappen and Hamilton. Both Red Bull and Mercedes, they butchered their tyre strategies. I don't know what Red Bull were thinking, bringing in Verstappen a few laps after Hamilton. It was it was absurd. But and I'm going to just say that about Adrian. I didn't see a problem with how they enforced the track limits, because I think it was Lando Norris that mentioned in an interview, he said they were pretty consistent. It was, you could go out off the track at turn four as long as you didn't gain an advantage. When Verstappen overtook Hamilton, he overtook using the going off the track, so that is gaining an advantage. But that's just my personal thoughts. But yeah, it was a brilliant race, and Hamilton looks looking in strong position for the eighth title.
Yeah, well, I'm going to bring up the whole track limits thing a little bit later. But Dan, making your podcast debut, what were your first thoughts on yesterday's race?
It was an absolutely sensational race. I mean, Hamilton and Verstappen to the very end. I mean, having Verstappen in my F1 team, you thought he was going to go all the way and beat Hamilton. But going to the end of the track limits, he didn't do so great and give Hamilton the win. But I think the big thing from yesterday was seeing how good Red Bull were in terms of the fact that Sergio was at the back of the grid. He managed to come to fifth eventually and shows that he's a much better driver than Albon was last year. Because if Albon was in that position, I could see him finishing mid-table, 10th at the very most. But you can see the quality Perez has, and Christian Horner will be very happy with the driver that he's got for this season.
And finally, Kit, what were your sort of first thoughts on yesterday's race?
Saving the best till last, I see. But I just want to echo what everyone else has said first. The track limits thing, I think, was completely fair enough. As was mentioned earlier, he didn't gain an advantage from the earlier incident. So it's only when the overtake happened and there was a clear advantage that the stewards are going to call that up. So I think they did that fair enough. I also think it's an absolutely brilliant season opener just because of how much closer the car seemed to be this year. You saw the McLarens looking absolutely phenomenal. The Red Bulls are looking really quick. Max Verstappen especially really pushing Hamilton right to the end there. Hamilton still somehow manages to get the victory. I think that's just a testament to the driver that he is and the fight that he's got within him. So I'm really, really looking forward to the rest of the season and seeing how the later races play out. I think we could have a real good title fight on our hands here.
Speaking of title fights, that is the one thing that I wanted from this season. I think last time I was on the podcast, I said that is my biggest wish, is a Verstappen-Hamilton title fight. And it does look like we're going to get it, especially with the Red Bull perhaps looking like the faster car. What do you think, Ethan? Do you think that Max is mature enough to be able to make it count in those moments? I think kind of my opinion on what happened at the end of the race yesterday is that if Lewis had been in the Red Bull, Lewis would have won. but Max isn't quite there with keeping it, you know, keeping cool. And arguably Lewis has only been there sort of post 2016 with that. So do you think that Max has got it in him to make it count in those difficult moments?
Yeah, I do agree with you on that point about Hamilton. If he's in that Red Bull, Hamilton wins. I think maybe Verstappen showed a little bit of immaturity in the closing stages. He should have got past. He was by far quicker. He was on the quicker tyres, the fresh tyres. He should have got past looking back on it. But that being said, I think it was very good race management from Hamilton. We all thought he was going to be on a free stopper. He managed to make those hard tyres last until the very end, which, you know, that's classic Hamilton. I do think that the Red Bull's in a better position to challenge, maybe not win. I do still see Hamilton as the firm favourites, but I think Verstappen is in a good position to challenge at least. He should be getting within about 30 points of Hamilton come Abu Dhabi. But in terms of the constructors, you could very well see Red Bull come out on top, because I'm sure we'll get onto him later, but Valtteri Bottas had a miserable time yesterday. He was in the middle of nowhere. And Sergio Perez, by contrast, yeah, he started back at the grid, he started in the pit lane, but he worked his way up to fifth. So it's all room for thought. We've got another 22 races and we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. It's a long season we've got ahead of us. Kit, do you think there'll be a scenario where Hamilton will win his eighth world title, but Red Bull would get the constructors?
Personally, no. I can't see that happening. I think Verstappen is really head and shoulders above the rest of the pack. I think he's an absolutely phenomenal driver, and he's shown that throughout the last, you know, 2-3 seasons at least. I think Bottas isn't, well, let's be honest, we all know Bottas isn't quite on that level with Verstappen or Hamilton for that matter. He's sort of in the team, but with the car, yes, it's not as good as last year's car, but I think he can still bring it home. He can bring home a podium consistently most races. He has got that pressure now on him. Even Pierre Gasly's looking very strong. Obviously, he was brilliant in qualifying, had a poor race, but there's so much pressure on Bottas now to perform. And I think he has been very active on his social media to show that he's really up for the challenge. He's up for that fight. So I think he is going to be pushing hard this season. And I think we can see some better performances from him as the season goes on. So it is looking, in my mind at least, like a Hamilton wrapping up the eighth title and yet another Constructors' Championship for Mercedes.
Now, we've spoken a little bit about track limits. I think what the issue is the radio call made to Hamilton halfway through the race from his race engineer Bono, saying you've got to stop going off at turn four, even though they said they could go off at turn four. And I think the question is whether if Max had been using turn four in the same way that Hamilton had been throughout the race, would he have won? Dan, what are your thoughts on that?
Verstappen was the faster racer throughout the race. And I feel like if Verstappen had have been the same type of driver in that race as Hamilton, he would have definitely won. The Red Bull was much faster than the Mercedes, and we saw that through practice and we saw that through qualifying. But unfortunately, Hamilton proved to be the most experienced driver on the grid, and that's why he won. Because he knows the track, he knows it better than Max.
Adrian, we keep talking about track limits. Race after race says these are the track limits. They're going to be enforced in qualifying and they're not in the race, or they're enforced in qualifying and the race. And there just doesn't seem to be consistency there. What do you think needs to happen to clear up the confusion?
Well, it needs to be consistently done within qualifying and the race. I mean, we spoke about the call from Bono to Hamilton, but Verstappen was told that he can use the extended track limits. It was said that he can use the extended track limits by his engineer. So it's confusing that Bono said to Hamilton to stop doing that, but Verstappen's engineer gave him the go ahead to do that, and then he goes on overtakes by extended the track limits, and he has to give back the position to Hamilton. So it's just down to the FIA to give us a bit of consistency, to give us not allow the drivers to extend the track limits in the race and in the qualifying. And then I think that's the best solution the drivers will get. They just need clarity on what they can do and what they can't do in both the race and in qualifying.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about arguably the number one drivers at the top two teams. So let's talk about the number two drivers at the top two teams. Obviously, Perez's first race for Red Bull. Qualifying didn't really go as planned, didn't get through into Q3. Did that surprise anyone? What did we make of that, Kit?
I don't think it didn't surprise me massively. You know, obviously everybody expects Perez, brilliant driver, always been very consistent. Going into a team like Red Bull, people are expecting him to absolutely smash it off the start, but it just doesn't quite work like that. You know, drivers need time to get used to the cars. They all drive very differently, and qualifying, I mean, it threw up a lot of crazy results, didn't it? We saw Sebastian Vettel struggling again. We saw Pierre Gasly, who I mentioned earlier, absolutely smashing it. So there was a few different sort of quirks in qualifying. So I don't think it's anything to take going forward. I think as the season progresses and he gets used to that car, when he gets a feel of it and that car sort of, he becomes one with that car, I can really see him pushing to get into those top qualifying spots, potentially even getting on the podium as such, you know, the top, the front row of the grid, second row, something like that.
Adrian, we know now that Checo's good at coming through the pack. I mean, he did it to win the race in Sakhir last season. What do you think he's going to be like when he qualifies at the front of the grid and he can sort of start a lot further forward? How do you think he's going to perform when he gets to that stage?
He will definitely be pushing for the race win. He's got the machinery behind him. We've seen with Verstappen how quick that Red Bull car is. And we obviously saw with Perez absolutely mincing everyone, making it through to fifth, which is impressive from starting from a pit stop. So I think Perez can be a potential race winner in that Red Bull car. It goes without a shadow of a doubt saying that he's got undeniable talent. He's quick, he's consistent. And if he can qualify on the second row or on the first row, like we are saying, I think he can win the race or potentially jump on a podium a few times. So he'll be looking to qualify for on the second row or the first row in the next coming races. But until that happens, he will be looking to make his way through the grid and obviously trying to get on the podium as soon as he can for Red Bull.
So Bottas was very upset in his or sort of annoyed in his post-race interviews. I think he said that, you know, Lewis's strategy seemed to be more aggressive and his more passive. I don't really see that personally. I don't really know what he was talking about. Obviously he had that long pit stop. I think clearly Bahrain's a bit cursed for pit stops and Mercedes. So, you know, he was, I say, if we're being generous, add 10 seconds, you know, take sort of put him 10 seconds further up the finishing times and he's still 10 seconds behind Max and Lewis. So what do we make of that? You know, he's always saying, oh, it's Bottas 3.0. He's had his coffee and his porridge. Ethan, what do you make of his performance in Bahrain?
Well, at the end of the day, it's simply not good enough for a Mercedes driver. I do see his point to an extent because he had that long first stint and then he went another 5, 6, 7 laps after Hamilton stopped. And then they pitted around the same time. They kind of seemed to bottle it. So it seemed that Bottas would do two long stints and then have a short stint at the end where he could push Hamilton and Verstappen. But even if he didn't have that bad pit stop, I think he came out about 8 seconds behind Norris. So you take 8 seconds off, he's going to be thereabouts for fighting with Norris. So, but that being said, after Verstappen came into his pits, Bottas was 7.5 seconds behind Verstappen, I think. So it's all relative, I think. I don't know how much impact you can really say it had on the result. But I think Bottas will see it as Mercedes favouring Hamilton, as they have, as it's been alluded to in the past. But at the end of the day, for a Mercedes driver, it's just not good enough.
And Dan, what did you make of Bottas's performance at the weekend?
As a Mercedes driver, he frankly wasn't good enough. I mean, even if you take Bottas's pit stop out of his actual time, he still wasn't good enough in comparison to Hamilton. And you look at Perez and where he had to start before the race. If Perez was more further forward than that, I believe that Perez would have overtook Bottas. So it just isn't good enough. And I think towards the end of the season, I think we will see Perez overtake Bottas. And if he finishes further, like lower than fourth, then that just isn't good enough. And he needs to improve. Otherwise, I believe that Mercedes will replace Bottas for next season.
So now we've talked about the top two teams. We'll just run down the order. So it's Hamilton, Verstappen and Bottas on the podium, followed by Norris in P4, Perez, Leclerc, Ricciardo, Sainz, Tsunoda and Stroll rounding out the top 10. Then the two Alphas, Raikkonen and Giovinazzi, Ocon, Russell, Vettel, Schumacher, Gasly and Latifi rounding out. Well, Gasly and Latifi did retire, but were still classified. And then DNFing, we had Alonso and Mazepin. So just taking, you know, sort of best of the rest, Lando Norris in P4. And a good showing from McLaren. Solid. They were quick in practice and solid qualifying in sixth and seventh, I think. And then Norris really racy at the start. And that has been something that he's had to work on, is being more aggressive at the start. So it's a good showing from him at the start of the season. Adrian, what do you make of Norris's performance and of McLaren's in the first race?
Yeah, it's great to see. Obviously, we saw at the start of last season what Norris can do, obviously getting his first podium in Austria. And it's another great start for him this season and getting a fourth place in Bahrain. So it goes without a shadow of a doubt that Lando Norris is improving year on year and bringing the fight to his experienced teammate Daniel Ricciardo, who we outraced and he beat in Bahrain yesterday or whenever this comes out. So yeah, he's been bringing the fight, and long it may it continue, because he's got undeniable talent. And yeah, I think that he could potentially be another podium maybe this season if he continues the way that he has been at the start.
I mean, I think McLaren could definitely get at least a few podiums in. Daniel Ricciardo was quite a way off Norris's race pace. Dan, do you think that that's just him needing to get used to the car? What do you think was going on there?
100%. Ricciardo's brand new to McLaren and he needs to at least be given a few races before we judge how good he is compared to Lando Norris. I think Lando Norris has had a few, three, four seasons now, I think, to get used to the McLaren car. You need to give Daniel at least a few races before we start comparing them. And yeah, I think that in a few races, Ricciardo will show how good he is and how valuable he can be to McLaren.
Absolutely. Now, Aston Martin, first weekend back in F1 after 60-odd years. Not the best. Not the best at all, especially for Sebastian Vettel. Managed to accumulate 5 penalty points in the course of about 24 hours, 3 for continuing to set a meaningful lap time under double yellows in qualifying, and another 2 for rear-ending Esteban Ocon in a really bizarre incident, because into turn one, Ocon's overtaken him with DRS. It's a, you know, you like, if you've got DRS into turn one, if you're close enough, you're going to get passed. So it's pretty much expected, you know, you're on the lookout. And a driver with Sebastian Vettel's experience knows that when a car pulls in front of you, you lose downforce. But he locks up and goes straight into the back of Ocon. Ethan, what did you make of Vettel's performance and maybe a bit about Aston Martin's performance in general over the weekend?
Well, it wasn't the weekend to be for Vettel. We qualified 18th, didn't manage to get it out of Q1. And then that was a very bizarre incident. You know, it was on the radio complaining that Ocon pulled in front of him. Ocon kept a straight line. He just turned, went into the corner as he normally would. So it was baffling that. But I don't want to be too critical of Vettel because, you know, he's had a bit of a rough year, but last season especially. But hopefully, you know, we can see him get back to the ways he was at Red Bull and Ferrari in the near future. But overall for Aston Martin, it's not the start they would have wanted. I think Otmar Szafnauer was bringing out all the excuses on Saturday, I believe it was, saying that their engine wasn't where they wanted it to be because they had to adjust it to make room for the regulations, when at the end of the day, the regulations are the regulations. Every team has to abide by them. It's the engineer's job to make that happen. So I think, yeah, Aston Martin, not a good weekend for them. Lance Stroll picked up the point, but not a good weekend for Sebastian Vettel either.
Yeah, and I think Otmar Szafnauer will tell anyone who will listen about how the new aero regulations favour high-rate cars rather than low-rate cars, like the Aston is a low-rate car. And I mean, really, the aero regs are the aero regs, you know, as you said about the him turning his engine down or whatever it was. Kit, what are your thoughts on Vettel's performance? Do you think he can get back to that, you know, four-time world champion that we know and love?
Yeah, it's really sad, isn't it? Really sad seeing Sebastian Vettel not performing, because we all know, every F1 fan knows what he can do and what we've seen of him previously. So the fact that he's now in a very solid car, to say the least, we saw how it performed last year. Aston Martin now, lovely livery on it, beautiful colours. It's, you know, everything about it screams success. So you really just want to see him doing well. And obviously he's not had a good race. Everybody has bad races from time to time. So now it's just about, hopefully he can turn that around. You know, he's got the professionality, he's got the experience to be able to turn a poor result into a good result for next week. Or it is next week, isn't it? We've got racing, I'm trying to think now. No, my bad. But the next race anyway, I'm sure he can turn that result into a good one. So really just hoping to see a better performance from him and hopefully get some points on the table.
The next race is in 3 weeks in Imola, Kit. It is a Monday, so I will forgive you that one. Moving on to Ferrari. Adrian, I know you're a Charles Leclerc fanboy, so I will ask you for your opinions. I mean, Leclerc, P4 in qualifying, I did not expect the Ferrari to be there. So, I mean, I guess even though it doesn't look fast, maybe it is fast. Both Ferraris in the points, which hasn't happened for sort of consistently last season either. I think there was some stat about it only happening like 5 times in the last 8 races or something similar to that, that was kind of, I hadn't thought about. Quite a positive start to the season. What did you make of it, Adrian?
No, I was very happy to see Carlos Sainz obviously finish in 8th on his debut for Ferrari and Charles Leclerc in 6th. I mean, getting overtaken by Lando Norris and Perez, fair enough, but finishing 6th, impressive from Leclerc. In Q2, I believe the Ferraris topped the timing charts with P1 and P2. So I was expecting Leclerc to be potentially up there in Q3, which he was. He qualified 4th. So on an overall point of view for Ferrari, I think they'll definitely be impressed with the amendments they've made and with the progress they've had on their car. And honestly, I hope it continues for Leclerc and for Sainz, because I think that partnership, and it could take Ferrari in a long way in the long-term future.
Ethan, what do you make? I know it's early days, but what are you making so far of the Charles Leclerc Carlos Sainz partnership? And do you think that the team as a whole have made the step forward that they need to after their poor year last year?
I think me and Adrian spoke about it last week. We said that Carlos Sainz has been written off a little bit by a few, saying that he was just going to play second fiddle to Leclerc. But it's a good start for Ferrari. Obviously, they had that horror year last year. They got double points. And to be fair, I've been quite impressed with Ferrari so far this season up to this point. They look, the power unit, whatever troubles they had with that last year, they seem to have solved them. And to be honest, I'm just going to pick out, I think there's going to be a very, very juicy battle between Ferrari and McLaren for third place in the constructors. I'm just going to put that all out there earlier on. But yeah, look, the Ferrari looks a good car. Not on track, it looks horrible on track. I think the livery isn't the nicest, as we've previously discussed. But the Ferrari's been quick this season, this weekend. But yeah, it's a step in the right direction. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I think so too. So moving on to AlphaTauri, great qualifying from Pierre Gasly. Beautiful qualifying. Was so excited. And then contacts with Daniel Ricciardo at the start of the race. Heartbreak, lost his front wing. Basically, that was his race from there. Tsunoda didn't have such a great qualifying, but came through and scored points on his debut. And I mean, there's some pretty fantastic overtakes in there as well from Yuki Tsunoda. Especially, I think, you know, dive bombing Lance Stroll into turn one on the last lap of the race to sort of take that P9 from him was particularly fantastic. And I think also sort of getting past Raikkonen and battling Alonso, and, you know, these people, you know, he wasn't even 1 year old when Alonso and Raikkonen were first in F1. Dan, what do you make of AlphaTauri's opening weekend and their differing fortunes for their drivers?
Tsunoda and Gasly were both brilliant in qualifying and within practice, and it shows how good AlphaTauri have been over the past 2 years. I kind of feel like Gasly was really unfortunate to receive the DNF through his car failing. But you look at how well Tsunoda did through qualifying and getting up quite high in the actual race. And you've got to say it's quite promising from AlphaTauri this year. And I feel like they will do quite well this year.
Kit, what did you make of AlphaTauri's weekend out and of Yuki Tsunoda's performance?
Yes, I thought Yuki Tsunoda put in a fantastic performance in the race. And I'm really happy to see a rookie in his first season in F1 scoring points on his first race. I think it's absolutely phenomenal. That often does not happen. So to see him being successful right from the off really shows the potential that he's got throughout the season. Pierre Gasly, another one. They're both in my F1 fantasy team. Just going to put that out there. So slightly disappointing to see him have the DNF. Lost me a fair few points, but I'm happy with his qualifying result, of course. I think it shows they've got some amazing potential for the rest of the season. And honestly, I wouldn't write them off to challenge the likes of McLaren and Red Bull as well. You know, their sort of parent company. To really start pipping them for points. Of course, it's unlikely that they are actually going to be beating them, but I definitely think they could be scoring quite highly, certainly more high than they did last year.
Yeah, I do think they've definitely
Yuki Tsunoda, the first rookie to get points in their first race since Stoffel Van Dorn in 2016.
I was just going to say that, Ethan. So, I mean, yes, I do think AlphaTauri have definitely taken a step forward. So moving on to another one of the A's, onto Alpine. Poor start from them, really. And I mean, sort of heartbreak for Alonso on his return after 2 years out. I mean, who would have thought that a sandwich wrapper would end someone's race? Adrian, what did you make of Alpine? I mean, Ocon wasn't really anywhere and Alonso was, but then sandwich wrappers. And I think we've lost Adrian. So, Dan, we'll go to you on Alpine and their performance.
I mean, Alpine were very disappointing considering, you know, the brand new team, which has replaced Renault. Fernando Alonso started really well. He did some good overtakes, got into the top half of the race. But then to have the crash and to fall out the race through failing his car just didn't go as planned. So you've got to feel sorry for him. But I think Esteban Ocon did as well as he could do. He did an all right race, but he can do much better. And I think Alpine have a point to prove in the coming races this season.
I think Adrian is back, so we'll go to him on his thoughts on Alpine.
I mean, it was heartbreaking to see Alonso obviously retire. I believe it was a brakes issue, if I'm not mistaken, that took him out. Obviously, seeing him back for the first time in 2 years, you really wanted to see Alonso get some points potentially on the board for Alpine. Ocon as well. It was a bit of a mediocre weekend for Alpine, so nothing really much to say apart from they've got to improve and go from there, really.
So moving on to our final A, Alfa Romeo. Now, I was, well, not surprised, I mean, sort of pleasantly surprised, I guess, that just outside the points, both of them, Raikkonen in P11 and Giovinazzi in P12, I think that probably shows that they've definitely made a step forward since last year. Ethan, what are your thoughts on their sort of early performance?
Yeah, most definitely. Alfa Romeo seem to have bumped themselves up the order a little bit. Giovinazzi and Raikkonen have both performed well. They, as you said, 11th and 12th in the Grand Prix. They both got to Q2 as well. So you could see them scoring regular points this season. It wouldn't surprise me. But this is, I think me and Adrian spoke about it last week, just a little plug. But this is a very big year for Giovinazzi, especially because he's underwhelmed up to this point. Let's put it that way. But if he has a good season this season, he can really, really kick on. So promising signs for Alfa Romeo, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd agree definitely with Giovinazzi. There's obviously quite a few young drivers that would be liking that seat. There's quite a few Ferrari driver academy drivers. I mean, Callum Ilott arguably should have had a seat in F1 this year. And there's others coming up, you know, Robert Schwartzman, Marcus Armstrong had an all right opening F2 weekend. Kit, what are your thoughts on the Alfa's performance and what Giovinazzi needs to do this season?
Yeah, well, I mean, both cars beat the Alpines, so I guess that's an achievement. Probably not many people expecting that. I think Giovinazzi, no, I don't think he's a terrible driver. Last year, he had quite a strong record of performing on the Sunday in terms of overtaking on the first lap. I think I can't remember how many he did, but you know, we had a debate, didn't we, on a podcast a while ago about whether he was underperforming on the Saturday, which is why he was always getting those overtakes on the Sunday. And, you know, you can look at it from either perspective. Realistically, though, I think I'm probably more siding on the underperforming on the Saturday. I think he has got the pace to be better. He's got to cut out all the small little mistakes that he's making, and if he can get in a good lap and then start as strong as he always has done, get the overtakes instead of being from, you know, near the back of the grid, if he's close to the middle of the grid and he's still getting those overtakes, then he can be finishing in the points. And I think that's realistically all he's going to be trying to do this season, just as many times as possible finishing the points. And if he can do that consistently, then I'll be absolutely over the moon for him.
Yeah, Alfa certainly seem to be poised to mop up those last points places when others make mistakes. So moving on to Williams, definitely seem to have taken a step up from last year. I don't think they're the slowest car on the grid anymore. George Russell got into Q2. So he's keeping up his record getting into Q2, which is fantastic. But I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't particularly remember seeing a lot of them in the race. I know they're at the back of the grid, I do feel like they had quite an anonymous race. Dan, do you remember any more than me?
I feel like Russell did a good few overtakes. You know, he held his own. He was very good on the grid. I feel like Latifi was very disappointing in the Williams, but I feel like Williams did all they could in terms of getting forward on the grid. I don't think they're any better than where they finished. And I don't really see Latifi staying as a Formula One driver for that much longer.
I mean, in all fairness to Latifi, he did have an issue. I can't remember what it was with that he was nursing for the whole race that was impacting his performance. And he did retire a few laps from the end, albeit still being classified. Adrian, what's your thoughts on the opening weekend for Williams?
Well, I mean, like we said, George Russell keeping up his record of being Mr. Saturday. But running in the points for one whole lap. I mean, I believe he got overtaken by Raikkonen to drop him out of a point, which was disappointing for everyone, obviously. Everybody is rooting for George Russell to finally get his first points as a Williams driver in Formula One. They've definitely made steps forward. I mean, if they are to continue this way and George can continue to perform in this consistent way, maybe we can see George, maybe we can see Russell getting some points this season. It'll be good to see, obviously, the Williams of the points, but whenever that happens, everybody will be praising Russell for whenever he gets some points. But I think it's still a long road for Williams to do that, but we'll see what happens further on in the season.
Yeah, I think everyone would definitely love to see Russell finally getting some points for Williams after quite a few years without them getting any points. So finally, we've managed to get to Haas. I mean, that car does look pretty undrivable. Both drivers had spins, but Mazepin also, you know, Mazepin had quite a few. You know, he did more formation laps than corners of the race. And just, you know, sort of too eager on the throttle, I think. You know, and with his spinning a lot in qualifying in practice, I do think Mazepin is probably overdriving. I mean, Schumacher did manage to finish ahead of Gasly and Latifi, but they did retire. But I think certainly, at least if they're not scoring any points and not getting anywhere near the points, hopefully they will be able to learn a lot about what it's like to be in F1. Ethan, what are your thoughts on the opening weekend for Schumacher and Mazepin?
Well, I don't really know where to begin. I think it was a horror show from start to end for Haas. I think Mazepin spun out three times, including the third corner of the Grand Prix, to, as you say, complete more formation laps than corners. But also, Schumacher spun out on the second or third lap. I think it was after the safety car. Yeah, and at that point, it looked like the Haas was just undrivable, like completely below where it should be, especially from, I think back a few years ago when they were, I think they came fifth in the constructors, if I'm not mistaken, with Grosjean and Magnussen. But yeah, so it's going to be a difficult season for Haas, but I think they just need to stick with the drives they have. And hopefully when new regs come in next season, they can, because they've had this year of adjustment almost, they can sort of bump themselves up the field. I think they're very much thinking about it in a long-term way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree. They've certainly had a fall from grace. But I think they're thinking ahead. I think they're thinking they can get some good German investment with the Schumacher name. And obviously, we know that Mazepin brings a lot of money as well. Dan, what are your thoughts on the Haas's opening weekend?
Well, it was totally overwhelming. I think Haas as a driving constructor expected to do better than they had with Magnussen and Grosjean, but they just didn't. And it's very underwhelming from Haas as a constructor, because you can see Schumacher did a drive which, in a better car, I think he would have done much better than he did. But you can't really do much in that Haas. And they've got to improve. And I think with the Schumacher name, they might get sponsoring and they might get bigger within the sport. But if that doesn't happen, I don't see how much longer they can continue in the sport.
So on that note, we have come to the end of, we've run through all the teams and their performances this weekend. Now, I know it's only the opening weekend and we do have 22 races left. It's a long season, but I want to know if your predictions have changed since we've seen the cars race each other for the first times. Now, I know, I mean, Dan, you weren't here, but we did, talk about our predictions in previous episodes. So, Kit, what have you had any changes to your what you're expecting from this season after seeing the first race?
Unfortunately for all of you, my predictions are always 100% accurate, so no need to change anything from me. If you take one look at the Fantasy F1, you will realise that I am indeed correct. No, I'm joking. So my predictions were Hamilton to win, still Verstappen second, Bottas third. If I get it up, I'd be able to get the whole list. But I think it's still going to remain that way. I have been a bit surprised by McLaren. They're performing, you know, even better than I had predicted at the start. So potentially they're going to be pushing higher up the points and certainly the constructors than I thought. Ferrari is another one as well. Charles is looking incredibly fast this year. The Ferrari is looking far better than last year. And yeah, I think it's going to be a much closer season than I did expect when I made my prediction. So in that respect, it has changed. But I think that the top three will still be Hamilton, Verstappen, Bottas.
Adrian, have you had any changes of heart in your predictions since we've seen some cars racing each other?
Well, first of all, I put Vettel in fifth in the standings. So I think that needs to be rejigged dramatically. I obviously put Hamilton, Verstappen, Bottas as a top three. Vettel, definite outlier there. No, I don't think he's going to get to fifth. I don't think he's getting it. I put Perez in sixth. I think he's going to be challenging up there. Potentially Gasly. I put Gasly is down as 11th. I mean, obviously he had his DNF last race, the first race of the season. But yeah, I've got to have a bit of a think about these because these predictions are very off. I don't know what I was thinking. I don't think I was prepared for that episode. So that's probably down to me. But if I had a look at it properly, I think I'd have to change it dramatically.
Ethan, were you more prepared in your predictions or have you completely changed your mind like Adrian?
I was more prepared, actually, because I think I hosted that episode and I know Adrian, Kit done their predictions during the episode. But for the weekend predictions, I think...
no need to bait me out like that, Ethan. No need.
For the weekend predictions, I think I got them pretty much thereabouts. Had Hamilton, Verstappen, Bottas, Perez and Ricciardo, I think, was my top five, which... was close, had got the wrong McLaren in there. But in terms of my championship standings, I did have Perez to beat Bottas, which on the performance yesterday, you could argue isn't far-fetched. I know that two of you give me a lot of grief for that. But the one I am most regretting putting in is I had Tsunoda in 14th and Gasly down in 12th. And I think after seeing them in testing and this weekend, I think I'll have to bump them up a little bit and push down Vettel, who I had in ninth. But all in all, I think I'm pretty content with my predictions.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with you there. I had Gasly in 11th and Tsunoda in 13th, and I for sure think they're definitely going to be higher than that. And Vettel in 10th, I don't know that he'll make it there. But we're only on the first race. Dan, what about you? Have you sort of had anything that you thought, oh, I never thought that they'd be that quick or they did much more poorly than I'd imagined?
I always had Hamilton to win his seventh championship because I feel Mercedes have always been that step ahead of Red Bull. But through practice and qualifying, I always felt that Red Bull have been that much closer to Mercedes. Whether they'll beat them in the championship, I don't think so. But I think it'd be very interesting for the rest of the season to see Perez compete with Bottas. And I think that battle will then determine who finishes on the top of the Constructors' Championship. Because I think it'll be very tight between Verstappen and Hamilton at the top of the grid. I think that Ferrari have been much better than I anticipated them to be. I think Ferrari weren't great last season, but they're the constructor that can improve and be much better than last season. And yeah, I think the only surprise for me was that Valtteri couldn't be as solid as I thought he would, but I think that's more down to the fact Mercedes stuffed up his tyres and I think he has much more to show this season. But aside from that, it's all pretty normal and I think it'll be an easy season for Lewis.
Well, we'll revisit that at the end of the season and see if we were completely wrong or completely right. So it wasn't just F1 we had this weekend. We also had F2. If you don't watch Formula 2, you absolutely have to. It's unpredictable. It's exciting. Three races now in a weekend. We had three different winners, two of them rookies. Incredible, incredible scenes. So, and also, obviously, you know, that's where you look for the newest F1 drivers. Adrian, I know that you pay quite close attention to Formula 2. What were your thoughts on the new format and on the opening weekend?
I thought the format was amazing. With Friday qualifying, it's a bit weird because Joe had to wait until Sunday to finally be on pole position for the feature race, which was strange, but three races in a weekend, it's great for the fans, it's great for the drivers, especially, but obviously more points, I believe 17 more points on display, which is great for championship aspects and for the fans. Obviously, Liam Lawson won the first sprint race, Oscar Piastri won the second one, and then Joe won the feature race from, obviously, pole position, which I wasn't expecting Lawson personally to win, especially with Daruvala right behind him, constantly pressurising him. But he didn't make any mistakes and he won the race. So it was an impressive weekend for the rookies. David Beckman was on the podium as well in this first sprint race. So all in all, the rookies have done very well this weekend, and long may it continue because I believe they will be pushing the more experienced drivers in the F2 field this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I wasn't expecting the rookies to do so well. I mean, they, you know, it's quite a jump from F3 into F2. And, you know, to have two different rookies winning the sprint races and Lawson getting a double podium as well, because he was P3 in the feature race and holding off Daruvala, who's the more experienced, you know, Daruvala's already got a year under his belt, knows the car, and, you know, Daruvala didn't switch teams in the off season either. So yeah, Lawson definitely stood out for me. Another one who really stood out for me was Richard Vasseur, only confirmed to be driving for MP in the week before the race. In the second feature race, went from last position to P5, and he's a rookie, wasn't necessarily expecting to be in the car, must have been hoping for it, but to go from last to P5, to make your way through the field in a sprint race, which is shorter as well, so you're having, you know, you're not necessarily making a pit stop, you're having to manage your tyres, I think was especially great. And he was P4 in the feature race as well, so just off the podium. Ethan, did anyone stand out to you in the opening weekend for the F2?
Well, I think Zhao definitely did. Obviously won the feature race, got on the podium in the second sprint race. Piastri as well. He's a rookie. I thought he'd done quite well. He had a bit of a bad end to the feature race. I think he lost a couple of positions, went down from second to fifth, I want to say. But he does look quite quick and maybe an early contender for a 2022 seat. But I think one man who definitely did disappoint me was Robert Schwartzman. I think he had a disappointing weekend. He missed out on the Haas seat last season, I think, in contention with Mazepin and Ilott. But he never seemed to get going. I think he got fourth place in the first sprint race. But other than that, nothing really of note. And I think he'll be a bit disappointed with that. But overall, a very good weekend of racing.
And Kit, every time that Oscar Piastri is mentioned, you are cheering in the background. So I presume that you were quite impressed with him. Was there anyone else apart from Piastri that impressed you? Or are you all in with Oscar Piastri?
You're not going to make me pronounce any names again, are we? We all know how that ended last time. I guess the guy that you've been talking about, who I assumed the name was pronounced Drogovic. I'm assuming that's not how it's pronounced. But anyway, the point is, Piastri has impressed me because, as we all know in this podcast, I don't watch a lot of F2, but I did decide to, you know, push the boat out, have a watch of it, see what was going on. And I saw some brilliant things from Piastri. Yes, he did, of course, make a few mistakes, as Ethan has already pointed out. But seeing him win that second sprint race, which was the one that I actually watched, I'll put it out there, was brilliant. He seemed to be driving really well. Everything was smooth. You know, his overtakes were great. So I think, personally, you know, I just love what I'm seeing from him. And he's so young as well. So the fact that he's doing that at his age, you know, I could see him getting into F1 in the future for sure.
Yeah, and Piastri does have the backing from Mark Webber as well. So he's well connected. Dan, what did you make of the opening F2 weekend?
Well, to watch F2, I mean, like Kit, first like proper time of watching it. I've read a bit about it before, but not really a full-on watcher. I felt like, I know Piastri has been great in the other races, and I watched the final one, and he was great until he crashed out the race. He definitely has a future in F1, I see. Probably, maybe in the future with Ferrari, depending, because of their good links with Ferrari. I felt like Tickton did really well to get up the grid. Lawson as well. And I feel like Zhou is a favourite to finish at the top of the F2 championship.
So now we've had our little tangent into F2, I thought we'd go back just to close the podcast off with our predictions for the next race, which is the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix in Imola in 3 weeks' time. So I want pole and I want the top three finishers. And I know I've sprung this on you, but we're gonna go with it. I'm gonna be nice and I'm gonna give you my predictions first, so you have a little bit of time to think. So I'm gonna go, my predictions are relatively safe. I'm gonna go Verstappen for pole, and then Verstappen to win, because I don't think I took a breath that whole last few laps, and I would like to sort of see him be able to win next time. Then I'm gonna go Hamilton P2, and then on the strength of his performance this round, I'm going to go Norris for P3, because I think it'd be nice. We all are, you know, I'd love a McLaren podium. I'd love multiple McLaren podiums. So I'm going to call one for the second race. Kip, what are your predictions?
You know, I think Hamilton could pull out the bag. I really do. You know, if you look at the track, Imola, I think it suits Mercedes' car. They normally set their cars up to be quite good in these sort of tracks. So I could see Hamilton putting it off. I think if he gets a good lap, which he, you know, very often does, then I can't see Verstappen being quicker. For me, it's more a case of Verstappen will be P1 only if Hamilton makes a mistake. So if Hamilton has a good race, well, has a good qualifying, then I think it'd be P1. And Hamilton on P1 very rarely loses it from there. So I'm going to have to say Hamilton for the race victory, Verstappen second. And I'm going to say Bottas third again, although I am expecting him to be pushed quite hard by the likes of Norris, even potentially by Gasly. those sort of drivers, they're all looking very, very strong. So that's what I'm going to say. I will stick with the classic Hamilton, Verstappen and Bottas, but it could change.
Adrian, what are your predictions for the Imola weekend?
Well, similarly to you, I think Max Verstappen will get pole position for the race. I think he's looked rapid in testing in the first race. So I'll generally think that he will get another pole position. And for the top three, I think Verstappen will win. Hamilton will get P2. And as a Ferrari fanboy, I want Leclerc to get P3, please. Thank you.
Ethan, what about you?
Like the two of you, I've gone for Verstappen to get pole. I think the Red Bull currently is too quick to be challenged by the Mercedes as of yet. But in the race, I've gone for Hamilton to get the victory. I think his race management is much superior to Verstappen's at this moment in time. But I have gone for Verstappen to get second. And I was going to throw a bit of a curveball, maybe going with a Ricciardo or a Leclerc to get third. But I have gone for Sergio Perez. I think he had a good performance this weekend, all things considered. Got to fifth, and I think he'll get his first Red Bull podium.
Now, Dan, your first predictions on the podcast, what are you going to go for?
I have to agree with Ethan. Verstappen to win, Hamilton second, and Perez third. I think Perez was totally shafty with regards to his position at the back of the grid starting in the pits. And I think that if he gets a good position in qualifying, he can definitely get to third. So Verstappen, Hamilton, Perez.
Great. So that is all we have time for this episode of Fly Lives F1 podcast. I've been Izzy Holman, and I've been joined by Dan Jones, Ethan Evans, Adrian Keita and Kit O'Callaghan. Catch us in next week where we preview the Imola race.